This episode is for accreditation reviewers and academic administrators. It is not an introduction to nutrition education. It is not a program pitch. It is a practitioner-level walkthrough of the CRN framework, its outcomes architecture, its governance structure, and its fit against three standards bodies, IACET, ATS, and CPEI. If you are sitting with a self-study or preparing for a review cycle, this is built for that context. On accreditation status. The program operates in alignment with IACET, ATS, and CPEI criteria. Where full accreditation or certification has been granted, we will say so. Where the program is in process or seeking alignment, we will say that instead. This episode does not overclaim. Reviewers will find no inflated credentials here. Four guardrails govern this framework, and they function as design constraints, not policy footnotes. First, refer not treat. This program operates in a continuing education register. It does not authorize clinical decision-making. Second, multi-faith neutrality. Curriculum content does not privilege any religious or spiritual framework. Third, evidence honesty. Every cited source is verifiable. No fabricated studies, no invented statistics. Fourth, field-informed design. Competency language draws from current professional practice. We cover these now because they shape every design decision that follows. The outcomes architecture has three levels. Institutional learning outcomes sit at the top. Program learning outcomes sit in the middle. Course learning outcomes sit at the bottom. That hierarchy is not decorative. It is a chain of accountability. Every element at each level must connect to the level above it, and those connections must be documented, not assumed. Start with the ILO. The institution writes it, owns it, and is responsible for the evidence base that supports it. An ILO defines what a graduate of this institution demonstrates, not what they were exposed to, not what they had the opportunity to learn. Demonstrates, the verb, matters. ILOs that use passive or hedging language signal immediately to a reviewer that the institution has not committed to measurable outcomes. The CRN framework does not hedge at the institutional level. One failure mode reviewers encounter constantly. ILOs so broad they absorb everything and prove nothing. An ILO that reads graduates will understand the importance of lifelong learning is not an outcome. It is a sentiment. It cannot be assessed, it cannot be mapped to, and it generates no usable data. Broad ILOs create the illusion of coverage while producing zero accountability. The CRN framework writes ILOs that specify a domain, a performance standard, and an assessable behavior. Moving down the chain, program learning outcomes are owned by the program, not the institution. The program team writes PLOs, and those PLOs must visibly serve the ILOs above them. That service relationship is not implicit, it is mapped. Every PLO is tagged to one or more ILOs in the alignment documentation, and the mapping explains why the connection holds, not just that it exists. Reviewers are looking for logical coherence, not a matrix with check marks. The second failure mode, PLOs that float above measurable evidence. A PLO that reads students will develop a holistic approach to nutritional wellness fails on two counts. First, develop is not an assessable terminal behavior. It describes a process, not an outcome. Second, holistic approach is undefined. The program cannot assess what it has not defined. PLOs in the CRN framework are written with action verbs drawn from established taxonomies, tied to performance conditions, and linked to the assessment instruments that will produce the evidence. Course learning outcomes are owned at the course level, typically by the course designer or lead facilitator, reviewed by the program director, and approved through the governance cycle. CLOs are the most granular unit of the alignment chain. They define what a learner will do by the end of a specific instructional unit. Importantly, CLOs are not summaries of content. They are not lists of topics. A CLO states a behavior, a condition, and a standard. Anything less is a content outline wearing an outcomes name. The third failure mode is orphaned CLOs. An orphaned CLO is one that does not map to any PLO. It exists in the course, perhaps because a subject matter expert found it important, but it has no parent in the outcomes hierarchy. Orphan CLOs are a governance failure as much as a design failure. They indicate that CLO development happened outside the alignment process. The CRN review cycle flags orphan CLOs as critical findings. They are resolved before a course is approved for delivery. The mapping process works bidirectionally. Forward mapping asks, given this ILO, which PLOs contribute to it, and which CLOs operationalize those PLOs? Reverse mapping asks, given this CLO, which PLO does it serve, and how does that PLO connect upward to an ILO? Both directions must hold. A program that maps only forward is building outcomes architecture without verifying it. The CRN documentation protocol requires both directions at each review cycle, not just at initial program design. Now connect this to the field-informed guardrail. Outcomes language in this framework draws from current professional practice, from published competency frameworks, from practitioner standards, from what working professionals in this field actually do. It does not draw from aspirational statements about what the field should look like, and it does not draw from competency sets the program team invented without external reference. When a CLO uses a competency verb, that verb has a source. Reviewers can trace it. That traceability is part of the evidence package. Outcomes are written, mapped, assessed, and revised. That is the operational cycle, and every verb in it is active and transitive. Someone writes the outcome. Someone maps it to the level above. Someone designs the assessment that will produce evidence of achievement. And when assessment data comes back, someone revises the CLO language, the instructional design, or the assessment instrument, depending on where the gap sits. Nothing in this system is reflected upon. Reflection is not a quality mechanism. Data-driven revision is. Alignment documentation in the CRN framework is not a one-time artifact produced for a psych visit. It is maintained on the program's standard review cycle. When a course is updated, the CLO map is updated. When a PLO is revised, the upstream ILO tag is reconfirmed, and the downstream CLO tags are audited for continued coherence. The documentation is a living record of alignment, not a retrospective justification. Reviewers reading the self-study will find version histories, revision rationale, and assessment data linked directly to outcomes language. The bottom line on outcomes architecture, the chain from ILO to PLO to CLO, must hold at every link, in both directions, with documented evidence at each node. Failure modes, absorptive ILOs, floating PLOs, orphan CLOs are not design inconveniences. They are indicators of a governance breakdown. The CRN framework treats them as such, catches them in the review cycle, and resolves them on the record. The alignment documentation exists, and it holds. Governance is not a support structure for quality. It is quality. A program with well-written outcomes and no functioning governance is a design document, not an operating curriculum. This segment examines how the CRN framework's governance structure drives continuous quality assurance and where it maps to the specific requirements of IACET, ATS, and CPEI. On standards fit, the program addresses IACET criteria for continuing education and training quality, including learning outcome specification, instructional design integrity, and assessment validity. It addresses ATS criteria relevant to program structure, faculty qualifications, and curricular coherence. It addresses CPEI criteria for program evaluation and continuous improvement. Where the program has achieved full accreditation or certification under any of these bodies, the documentation says so explicitly. Where the program is in alignment building or review pending status, the documentation says that instead. Reviewers will find no gap between what is claimed and what is substantiated. The governance structure operates on a defined review cycle. The program director convenes the curriculum committee at minimum annually. Each review cycle examines three evidence inputs: assessment outcome data from completed course deliveries, facilitator feedback collected through a standardized instrument, and learner performance data mapped against CLO achievement benchmarks. Findings from those three sources drive revision decisions. Revision decisions are logged, dated, and linked to the evidence that warranted them. The cycle is not aspirational. It runs on a calendar, produces a written record, and that record is part of the self-study package. Now to the refer-not-treat boundary. This program operates in a continuing education register. It does not authorize clinical judgment, dietary prescription, or therapeutic intervention. That boundary is not stated once in a policy document and left to facilitators to interpret. It is operationalized at three levels. At the CLO level, no course learning outcome asks learners to diagnose, prescribe, or treat. The action verbs in CRN CLOs, identify, describe, apply, distinguish, communicate, sit within an educational performance register, not a clinical one. At the facilitator training level, facilitators complete onboarding that explicitly defines scope boundaries and provides scripted guidance for redirecting learners who ask questions outside that scope. At the assessment level, no assessment instrument rewards or accepts clinical decision-making as a correct response. The boundary is built into the architecture, not appended to it. Multi-faith neutrality is treated here as a governance issue. That framing is deliberate. Content preference reviews catch obvious insertions. A facilitator who happens to favor a particular spiritual framework, a resource that embeds faith-specific assumptions about food, body, or healing. Governance catches the structural version of the same problem. Competency language that assumes a particular cosmology. Assessment scenarios built around cultural contexts that map to specific religious traditions. Resource lists that systematically include sources from one faith community and exclude others. The CRN curriculum review protocol includes a neutrality audit at each revision cycle. Reviewers with different cultural and professional backgrounds examine materials for embedded assumptions before those materials enter delivery. When a neutrality flag is raised, it is resolved in revision, not in a footnote. Evidence honesty functions as a quality standard in this framework, not as an ethical statement. The practical implication is this. Every empirical claim in the curriculum cites a verifiable source. Every statistic has a retrievable origin. Where the research base is limited, thin, or contested, the curriculum says so. It does not manufacture authority by citing non-existent studies or by presenting preliminary findings as settled science. Facilitators are trained to model this same standard in live delivery. When a learner asks a question the evidence does not clearly answer, the correct response is to name the limits of current knowledge, not to fill the gap with plausible-sounding content. Reviewers examining source citations in CRN materials will find real sources, accurately characterized. That is the standard. Taken together, governance in this program is active, structured, and evidence-driven. The review cycle runs. The standards criteria are addressed without overclaim. The guardrails, refer not treat, multi-faith neutrality, evidence honesty, are not documented commitments waiting to be operationalized. They are already built into CLO language, facilitator preparation, assessment design, and the revision record. Reviewers will find the documentation. The documentation will hold up. Here is the bottom line. Three pillars. Outcomes are aligned and documented, from ILO to PLO to CLO, in both directions, with version histories and assessment data attached. Governance is active and evidence-driven. The review cycle runs on a calendar, produces a written record, and that record drives revision decisions. Standards fit is claimed only where substantiated. IACAT, ATS, and CPEI criteria are addressed with specificity, and the program does not assert accreditation or certification it has not earned. The four CRN guardrails are not disclaimers appended to a program description. They are design commitments built into the architecture. Refer not treat is in the CLO action verbs, the facilitator training, and the assessment instruments. Multi-faith neutrality is enforced through a governance audit, not assumed through good intentions. Evidence honesty is a citable standard. Every source is real. Every limit is named. Field-informed design means competency language traces to external professional frameworks, not internal invention. These commitments are operational. Reviewers can test them against the documentation. For academic administrators preparing a self-study or sitting across from a review team, the documentation exists. The alignment holds. The program operates within its stated scope and knows where that scope ends. You will not find overclaimed credentials, fabricated research, or outcomes language that evades accountability. You will find a program that knows what it is, knows what it is not, and can show the work. That is the standard this framework is built to meet.